This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to this new episode where we study the beautiful names of Allah, the Almighty Azza wa Jal. Today we will attempt to study five names of Allah's beautiful names. The first two names share the same attribute, which is forgiveness. And forgiveness, or al-ghufran, it means to conceal and to hide and to protect. So when you conceal something, you have forgiven it. And Allah's maghfirah, which is the noun, forgiveness, is when Allah conceals these sins and He pardons them with His grace and mercy. Al-Ghaffar is one of Allah's beautiful names. Perpetual forgiver. He does that over and over again. Al-Ghafoor is also the same meaning, that Allah Azza wa Jal does it extensively for everyone, all the time. And it means that Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Ghaffar, the one who exposes what's beautiful and conceals and hides what is ugly and sinful in this life. And in the hereafter, Allah Azza wa Jal would subhanahu wa ta'ala make these sins go away. Now, when we come to look at these beautiful names, we find that Allah Azza wa Jal has repeated the name Al-Ghaffar five times in the Quran. Among them is the well-known ayah in Surah Nuh, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا, and said, ask forgiveness of your Lord, indeed He's ever a perpetual forgiver. As for Al-Ghafoor, there are over 90 places in the Quran where Allah names Himself as Al-Ghafoor. Among them is the well-known ayah, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى, that Allah's forgiveness has to be accompanied by deeds, has to be accompanied by asking Allah for forgiveness, by repenting, by believing. And this is what this ayah says, but indeed I am the perpetual forgiver of whoever repents and believes and does righteousness and then continues in guidance. What are the implications of these beautiful names? When we read them, when we call Allah with them and ask Him to forgive us our sins. So we say, Ya Ghafoor, Ighfirli. Ya Ghaffar, Ighfirli. And we have this firm belief in our hearts that only Allah forgives and conceals the sins. Which leads us to the third name today. The name Al-Afu. And this beautiful name, the one who pardons, is one of Allah's beautiful names. And Al-Afu has an extra edge over Al-Ghaffar and Al-Ghafoor. Because Al-Ghaffar and Al-Ghafoor means the one who conceals and forgives sins. This does not mean He may not hold you accountable on the Day of Judgment. There is a possibility. They are still recorded in your record books. But He may not punish you for. And by the way, one of the meanings of al-maghfirah is to protect. And this is why the helmet a warrior puts on his head that protects him from the blows is called mighfar. So this protects his head from blows, and it is derived from the same origin. So what is the difference between forgiveness and pardon? Pardoning is to erase. Forgiveness is to conceal. It's still there in the records. It is still documented. Where pardoning is when Allah Azza wa Jal totally erases it, does not hold you to an account, and that Allah Azza wa Jal takes it out from the record books where the angels who register your sins would not even know about it. And also, it can mean that Allah does not only erase it, rather Allah changes it into good deeds. And this is the ultimate of pardoning, of generosity, of forgiveness. When not only Allah conceals it, nobody knows about it, Allah transforms it into good deeds. So you come on the Day of Judgment and you see your record books filled with good deeds. You say, this is not mine. I've never done so many good deeds in my life. And then you will be told that Allah has pardoned you and transformed it into good deeds. Allah mentioned this in Surah Al-Furqan, when he spoke about three major heinous sins. One, associating others with Allah, shirk. Two, killing innocent souls without any legitimate reason. Three, fornication. Allah promised those who do any of these heinous things that they will be heavily tormented in hellfire. But then he said, those for them who repent, their evil deeds will be replaced with good, and ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. Imagine, you come with 1,000 sins, but because you repented, because you sought Allah's forgiveness, Allah pardoned you and exchanged them into good deeds. And this is why Mother Aisha used to ask of the Prophet, O Prophet of Allah, if I were to know when Laylatul Qadr is, and we know that this magnificent night, the night of decree, is one of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So from the 20th of Ramadan till the end, one of the nights must be Laylatul Qadr. And this beautiful night, working and doing good deeds is better than 1,000 months, better than the deeds of 1,000 months in one night. So she said, what should I do? What should I say? And the Prophet said to her, say, Allahumma innaka afuwun. This is Allah's beautiful name, al-afu. Allahumma innaka afuwun, tuhibbul afwa, and you love pardoning. Fa'fu anni, so pardon me. Forgive my sins, conceal them, erase them, and change them into good deeds. A beautiful dua, very short. You can repeat it all day long. You can repeat it out of the 10 nights of Ramadan, the whole year. Always ask Allah with His beautiful name, Allahumma innaka afu. It is you who is al-afu, the one who pardons, the one who pardons people by guiding them, by concealing their sins, by instructing them to repent. So, pardon me. And also, connected with all what of the above, Ghaffar, Ghafur, Afu, we also have At-Tawwab. And what is At-Tawwab? This is a form of exaggeration in Arabic, because the normal adjective would be Ta'ib, the one who repents. But here it's At-Tawwab, the one who frequently, the one who guides his servants to repent and accepts it from them. And this is not related to humans who are repenting, it's related to the description of Allah Azza wa Jal in His name, that He is the one. So what does At-Tawwab mean? At-Tawwab means the one who frequently and so often repents over his servants. He accepts whoever comes to him, no matter how heinous his sins are. And Allah's repentance upon His servants are divided into two types. The first type is to guide and to allow His servants to repent. And why would we say to guide and allow? Because if you look around, your siblings, your cousins, your relatives, your neighbors, your colleagues, your friends, you will find that they are so indulged in sins. Not that we are purified from sin, but they around us are so indulged in sin, rarely you will find someone repenting. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal did not guide them, did not invite them to repent. So they're negligent, they don't want to repent. So Allah doesn't guide them. Whenever a person has this burning flame in his heart, he's remorseful, he's regretful, he's sad because he had sinned, Allah will guide him. But those who are negligent, those who don't care, these are the people that Allah does not guide. So number one of the meaning of At-Tawwab is the one who guides his servants to repent and facilitates the conditions of repentance, which you all know. And then we move on to the second meaning, which is after he guides them, after he directs them, after he encourages them to repent, once they do that, number two, he accepts their repentance, forgives their sins, conceals their shortcomings and flaws, and transforms these sins into good deeds. And Allah Azza wa Jal is so happy when we repent, that is beyond description. As in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah is more happy than a man who lost his camel with his food and drink in a desert, and he thought that he's dead, a dead man. And all of a sudden he wakes up to find his camel. He grabs the harness and says, "Oh Allah, I am your Lord and you are my servant." He made a mistake due to extreme joy and jubilation and happiness. The Prophet says Allah is more happy than this man. When? When a person repents to Allah. He guides us to repent and he's happy when we do so. What is the use of such a name? The use is that whenever you fall in a mistake or a sin, always come back to Allah and call Him, Ya Tawwab, Tub Ali. O the one who repent upon His servants, repent upon me. The director and the cameraman always bring my attention that I have to remove my face mask. And I intentionally put it because we are in a time that we have to be diligent. We have to be careful. We have to walk the talk. It's not easy to be a Rambo when you see people suffering and when we see the laws are against us. So always be diligent. Always be careful. Wear your face mask whenever you are in public. And this is the message I'm intending to send to people, that it doesn't discredit you or makes you a coward or makes you a lesser person to wear a mask. It simply shows that you're a law-abiding citizen and you care for others, even if you yourself are not convinced of it. But it's always best to be with the jama'ah, with the congregation, with the unity of the ummah. Coming back to the last beautiful name that we have today, And this name is Al-Halim. And it translates to the forbearing. Hilm is one of Allah's beautiful attributes. And Allah loves His servants to have this attribute in them. And by far, our Prophet ﷺ was the most forbearing human being ever. Imagine the scenario. The Prophet is walking with Anas ibn Malik. He's the top of the Muslim Ummah. He's the top of all humanity. Some say he's the top of all Allah's creation. So he knows who he is. And while walking with Anas, a nomad, nobody knows him, comes from behind him. And he grabs him from his cloak and pulls him. And this cloak was made of harsh and hard wool. And he had nothing underneath it, no t-shirt, nothing. So he pulls him harshly and it makes like scars and burn traces on his shoulder and neck. Not only that, he impolitely says to the Prophet ﷺ, O Muhammad, give me from the money you have, because you're not giving me from your own money. This is Allah's money. He calls him Muhammad. He shouts at him. He orders him. What would you do? I, as a Sheikh Asim, if somebody does this to me, I'm going to smack him in the face. Probably not the face, because face haram, maybe in the stomach. I will be outraged. Doesn't he know who she's speaking to? Doesn't he see the age difference? Blah, blah, blah. The Prophet ﷺ smiled and ordered his companions to give him money. That's it. Not a word of reprimand. Not a bad comment. Not even frowning in his face. This is the forbearing that Allah wants us to be like. And when it comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, imagine when Allah has the whole universe in His control, with one word, which is be, He can annihilate everything on it. It goes to dust. He can throw us all in hell. Yet, we find sinners. We find people who do shirk and associate Him with others. We find people saying that He has a son. And this is an insult to Allah. As in the hadith, the son of Adam insults me and falsify my promise. He insults me, Allah says, when he attributes a son to me. This is an insult. And he falsifies and says I'm lying when he claims that I will not resurrect him after death. So if you were Allah Azza wa Jal, wouldn't you annihilate those on the spot? They do not constitute anything in your sovereign kingdom. Yet because He is Al-Halim, the forbearing, He gives them time. He sees this blatant ignorance and this mutiny, this sinful acts. But because He's capable, see, if a ruler or a king or a president oppresses me, wrongdo me things. So if he does these bad things to me, I know I can't defend myself. So I would say, I forgive him. I'll be patient and tolerant. This is not forbearing. Forbearing is when you have the ability to execute and you don't. And this is why the Prophet said in an authentic hadith, whoever becomes angry and can execute his anger into actions, yet he refrains from that, and he suppresses his anger, Allah will call him on the day of judgment in front of everybody and puts cloaks and clothes of Jannah upon him until he is satisfied. So in order to be forbearing, you have to suppress your anger when capable of executing it. And only Allah Azza wa Jal has this, who does not take us with our sins on the spot. Rather, He delays us a month, a year, 10 years, so that we may ask Him for forgiveness, repent to Him, and to appreciate His blessings and favors upon us. The forbearing, as Imam Sa'di says in Tafsir, is the one who continues to give good blessings and favors to his servants despite their frequent sins and their shortcomings. So he forbears and he tolerates and he forgives in exchange for their sins and for the disobedient, so that they might repent to Allah the Almighty. We move on to the questions without a break so that we would compensate some of the lost time, inshallah. So we have Taymour from the UK. Taymour? Okay, Mehwish from the US. Either the speakers are fine, so why aren't we hearing anything? So should we go for a break or?
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, Mehwish is on the line. Wa alaikum assalam.
Sheikh, what is the ruling on rap music? Jazakumullah khairan.
Rap music. Okay. We have Mariam from the US. Mariam? No, Mariam. Okay, Faizan from India. Faizan.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Yes, Sheikh, actually, I have a question about dream. My father told me when you see a good dream, you have to forward it to pious people, and whatever he will interpret, it will come true. So I have dreamed almost 5-6 months ago. Sheikh Abdurrahman Al-Siddas, the Imam Kaaba, I saw him many times in my dream, many times. And I love him. I love his recitation. I listen to his recitation every time. So I want to know, what does this dream mean?
Okay, I will answer, inshallah. We have Noor from Nigeria.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Salam wa rahmatullah.
Sheikh, my question is regarding the breaking of the fast. Some say you're supposed to break with an odd number of days. So there is someone I know, so I don't know whether he's going too far with it. He eats like maybe 3 odd days, and he'll say he's going to eat an odd number of meats also. He's going to eat odd number of fruit, for example. So I want to know whether that's going too far there, or that's acceptable.
Okay. I will answer, inshallah. Muhammad from the U.S. Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Santullah.
Sheikh, I heard when I was young that whoever goes to Jannah, he will, whenever he feels for someone, if they are in like in hell, he'd be able to ask Allah, and Allah will grant him for them to bring them in Jannah. So even if he is a hafiz of Quran, during the day of resurrection, or after when he will be entered into the Jannah, will he have the same opportunity, or the like parents, his wife, his children, they will have any reward for that?
Okay, I will answer, inshallah. Abi from Indonesia.
Hello, assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Samtullah, is the name correct?
Yes, it is Abi.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I heard from one of your lecture that dropshipping is haram in Islam. So what in a scenario in, let's say, I own a retail shop and I invite people to dropship from my retail shop? So.
Okay. I'll try to answer your question, inshallah.
Thank you.
Taymour from the UK.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamualaikum.
So I'm facing like a problem right now. My parents are pressuring me to cut or trim my beard, and I know it's against the sunnah to like shave and trim your beard. So usually when they like pressure me to do it, I usually just ignore them and just smile and walk away. Am I sinful for doing this?
Okay. I will answer, inshallah. And we have Ishaq from Philippines.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Sampallah.
Sheikh, in a nutshell, can you please explain how the youth in eating myself can control our anger?
How can what?
In a nutshell, can you explain how the youth in eating myself can control our anger?
How can we control our anger?
That's right.
Okay. I will answer, inshallah. And we have Mahfouz from Indonesia.
Assalamu alaikum.
Santullah.
Sheikh, my question was regarding a practice which is usually done in Indonesia, particularly in Ramadan or in approaching Ramadan. People usually visit and flock to the cemeteries or the graveyard to do ziyarah. So is this from the sunnah or is it just a tradition, Sheikh?
Okay, I will answer, inshallah. And we have Shihab from the UK. Shihab.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam tullah.
It's Shihab from Bangladesh, actually.
Bangladesh. Maybe you're trying to migrate. You never know.
Okay. Yes. So my question is, do Prophet's soul pray and do zikr in their graves? Prophet's soul must be in Illin, where the soul of righteous persons remains. Again, the Prophet in the miraculous night saw Musa praying, Musa, peace be upon him, is praying in his grave. And again, we know that Prophet's soul is restored when someone offers salutation upon him.
I will answer, inshallah, Shihab. Sharif from India, and I think we have so many questions, I don't know if we can answer them or not.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Sheikh, my question was about jihad. So I read on your Twitter that Islam was spread by sword and by word. What does it mean that it was spread by the sword? Because there's no compulsion in religion, right?
So I will answer you, inshallah. Sadman from Bangladesh.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Salam to Allah.
How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah.
Sheikh, my question is, can I see videos and read books of Ahmed Musa Jibril? I have heard that he supports terrorist groups.
Okay, I think we've made it clear not to ask about individuals on live TV. This is inappropriate. Either you're endorsing him or you're tarnishing his reputation. And there is no use for the ummah at all to use such inappropriate questions. Sad man, you do this again, I'm going to block you. So you know my Twitter, you know my email, you know my website. You can ask me there one-to-one. But to come on public TV and ask questions about shuyukh or about students of knowledge or even about Tom, Dick or Harry, this is inappropriate at all, akhi. And we have Iman from the UAE.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamualaikum.
Can you please tell me the difference between ajr, sawab, and jaza? Because when you translate them to English, they all translate to you.
Okay, I'll try, but I don't promise you anything. Adeep, finally, this is final question. Adeep from Bangladesh.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamualaikum.
So I used to know reading Fatiha is a pillar in Salah, but there's a Hanafi imam who says reading Fatiha in Salah is wajib. And he even goes saying reading surah is fard. When I ask him how reading surah is fard, he quotes Quran, Surah Muzammil, chapter number 70, verse number 2, 3, and 4.
Faqra ma tayassara min al-Quran. I will answer you, inshallah. Okay, Taymour from the UK, we will answer the questions. I don't know how much time do you have. It seems not a lot. We have like 10 minutes. So let's let the games begin. Taymour from the UK says his parents order him to trim or cut his beard, and he ignores them and he smiles. Is he doing anything sinful? Not at all. What they are asking you to do is sinful. And if they get angry and say, Allah ordered you to obey us, say, yes, and I'm obeying you, I'm being dutiful to you. My beard has nothing to do with your obedience. My beard has to do with the obedience of Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal prohibited upon me to shave it or trim it. So remain to be dutiful and obedient and diplomatic and kind. But again, do not obey them. Taymur Mehwish from the UK, she says, what's the ruling on rap music? The word music itself is totally prohibited, whether it's rock, whether it's bluegrass, whether it's jazz, whether it's rock, whether it's R&B, any type of music, classical music, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, whatever, all haram. Why? Because there are musical instruments. Why? Because Allah said so. The hadith is crystal clear. The four schools of thought, they all agree that it is prohibited. So whether rap or not, it's haram. If you're asking about rapping without music, like some of the rap nasheed artists nowadays, I am hesitant to accept this. When the brother, he's with a beard and he makes a nice poem, yeah, he read it like a poem. You don't have to come down to the screen and do this and act like rappers. Next thing you have is bling blings and rings and maybe golden or diamond teeth. This is not Islamic. We don't imitate the kafirs. Yes, writing poetry is good in English or in any other language. No problem that as long as the content is nice. But the music, it's haram. Faizan from India, his father says about the good vision and to tell it to good people. He's asking me that he has seen Sheikh Sudais 5-6 times in his dream. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything, akhi. It might mean that you will probably book for a Umrah and come and make Umrah and pray behind Sheikh Sudais. Maybe. Or because you frequently listen to Sheikh Sudais and love his recitation and try to imitate him when you lead prayer in Maghrib or Isha, and people say, mashallah, you recite like him, this made your subconscious generate such dreams. And this is from the Sunnah, that your subconscious does generate dreams, as the Prophet said, alayhi wasallam. Noor from Nigeria, he says, one of the brothers eats dates in odd numbers, which is Sunnah, good. But then he moves on to eat fruit in odd numbers. This is an issue of dispute. Some scholars say that doing things in odd numbers is part of the Sunnah. And this is not accurate. The only accurate thing is that to eat odd numbers when you go, if I'm not mistaken, now I'm confused, so don't quote me on that. I have to research it back again. To do it when breaking the fast and when you go to Eid, in Eid al-Fitr, not in any other incidents, to my knowledge, as Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said. But again, I have to recheck, is it both or one of them? So in breaking your iftar, the dates should be in odd numbers. And when going to Salatul Eid, before leaving your home, you should eat dates in odd numbers, and Allah knows best. Muhammad from the US, he says, is it true that the people of paradise will intercede to some of those who are in hellfire of the Muslims? The answer is yes. That there are different types of intercession on the Day of Judgment. Among them is the people of heavens, of paradise, will intercede for some of their brethren who are still in hell, that Allah Azza wa Jal would take them out and admit them to paradise. And would a half of the Quran intercede to his wife, kids, and relatives? The hadith in this is not authentic, but we wish in Allah's generosity. Abby from Indonesia says, I have a retail shop. How can I sell people who are selling in drop shop shipping? Well, for a retailer, there's no problem. Whether the person buying from you is a drop shipper or a regular buyer, you're selling. The items you have, that it belongs to you, you possess it. The issue is with the third party, with the drop shipper, who simply doesn't have the merchandise and he sells different merchandises he does not possess or own, either takes the money or takes a half of it or a commitment, then goes and buys it and ships it to someone else. This is what is prohibited. Ishaq from the Philippines, how do we control anger? There is a number of video clips on my YouTube, and among them is to remember that anger is not something disliked in itself. The consequences of anger is what is haram. So what you say because of anger, what you act according to your anger is what is haram. And we have to look whether your anger is selective or all the time. Is it four-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive? Because some people, anger only appears on their wives or children. But he does not expose or show his anger to a policeman or to his boss at work or to someone who's 6'4 from Brussels and he's full of muscles, as they say. No, these guys are scary. They can punch back, but your wife and children can't. So such anger is not true anger. And if you watch my videos, inshallah, you'll get the answer. Mahfouz from Indonesia, he says there's a practice in Indonesia that they visit cemeteries in Ramadan. And likewise, in Arabia, there is a practice that they visit cemeteries on the Eid, some of them on Friday. All of these are innovations. Connecting the visit to a particular time or a season makes it a Eid, and this is not permissible. Yes, it is recommended to go and visit whenever you have time, but not to allocate a particular event or time to visit them, thinking that they'll be happy, etc. Shihab from Bangladesh, he says, do prophets and messengers pray in their graves? The hadith of Musa clearly states that they do, and this type of prayer is not to increase in their good deeds because the time of acting and performing worship is over. This is a form of gratitude on their behalf. Sharif from India, he says, you said in one of your posts or Twitter answers, Twitter most likely, that Islam was spread by the sword, and remove the S, and the word. So he said, we know that there is no compulsion in religion. What do you mean by Islam was spread by the sword? Islam was spread by the armies and the expeditions that expanded all over the world. The Prophet sent his expeditions, telling them, call them to Islam. If they respond, alhamdulillah, they're your brethren. If they refuse, tell them to pay the taxation, the jizya, so that they remain in their country, in their homes, living like normal, but under the ruling of Islam. No oppression. If they refuse, then fight them. Why fight them? To conquer their land and to make this land an Islamic land. And then those who want to come in Islam, they are more than welcome. Those who don't want to come into Islam, they're not compelled to come to Islam, but the land has to be conquered. So this is what is meant by the sword. No one was forced to accept Islam or be killed or executed ever. But the country itself has to fall under the reign of the Muslim Empire. Iman, she says, what's the difference between ajr, thawab, and jaza? They're almost identical. Ajr and thawab is the same. Jaza can be reward for good deeds or punishment for sins. So this is the only difference. But ajr and thawab is only for good deeds. Adib from Bangladesh, I heard someone say that Al-Fatiha is mandatory, but the surah is a fard. This is totally bogus and wrong. Al-Fatiha is a difference of opinion among scholars, whether for a follower, for an imam, or an individual praying, there is no difference of opinion that it is mandatory. It is a rukun in every single rak'ah for the imam and for a person praying alone. The difference of opinion is with the third category, which is a follower. I'm praying behind an imam. So they differed. Some say it's a rukun, a pillar. Some say it is not a pillar, like the Hanafi school of thought. Don't pray it. Don't read it. Even in silent rak'ah, don't read it. And this is wrong. And some took the middle path, which is the Maliki Madhab, and supported by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, where he wrote a small booklet called Al-Ilmam bi-Hukm al-Qira'ati Khalf al-Imam. And he concluded that the same, similarly to Malik Madhab, which is, it is mandatory, a must, a pillar, to read for the follower in silent rak'ahs. So when the imam is reading silently, it's a must. But when he's reciting loudly, then it becomes recommended. If you recite it, alhamdulillah. If you don't recite it and skipped it intentionally, there is nothing on you, bi-ithnillah. This is all the time we have until we meet same time tomorrow. I leave you fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون